Okay, so good afternoon. I'd like to make a short statement and then I'll take some questions from you. By now you've had a chance to read David Henry's report into the unauthorised disclosure of Rebecca Kitteridge's compliance review of the Government Communications Security Bureau, or GCSB as it's known. This leak inquiry report, which I instigated, was delivered to me on the evening of Wednesday the 5th of June. I've taken some time to carefully consider it and to work through the consequences of the report. When I announced the terms of reference for the leak inquiry in April, I made it clear that I expected all ministers and their staff to fully cooperate. In this situation, a sensitive government document was leaked to a reporter, and that's something I treat as a very serious matter. Unfortunately, the report shows that Mr. Dunn has not met all of the requests for information from the inquiry, so Mr. Henry has been unable to rule out that Mr. Dunn leaked the Kitteridge report. I'm extremely disappointed with what has taken place. I expect my ministers to always uphold the highest standards and to be held to account for their actions. Since receiving the report, I've met with Mr. Dunn to discuss the matter. He has advised me that he remains unable to fully meet the inquiry's requests. Accordingly, he offered, and I have accepted, his resignation as a minister. I believe this is the appropriate course of action in the circumstances. I'm deeply saddened by these events. Mr. Dunn has had a long, distinguished career in Parliament and has made a significant contribution as a minister over many years. He has been a great partner for the National Party in government. But fundamentally, the public have high expectations of ministers, and so do I. With Mr. Dunn's resignation as a minister, Deputy Prime Minister Bill English will be acting Minister of Revenue until a decision is made about the permanent portfolio allocation. In the meantime, Mr. Dunn's associate ministerial responsibilities will revert to the relevant ministers. Mr. Dunn has advised me that he intends to continue to meet the terms of the United Futures Confidence and Supply Agreement with the National Party. Finally, I'd like to thank David Henry for a thorough and professional inquiry. Questions.
Did he say why he didn't release the emails?
No. So when I had the discussion with Mr. Dunn on Wednesday evening, I made it clear to him my expectations that he would need to comply with the inquiry. He refused to do so. I said to him, it's really as simple as this, that he needed to either comply or he needed to resign. He chose the course of resignation, and he was unable to offer to me an explanation of why he would refuse to release those emails.
Do you believe that he leaked it?
Well, in question, do I believe him? What he said is he's told me categorically he didn't leak the report. I want to believe him, but the problem is, unfortunately, the inquiry doesn't rule him out, and I can't dismiss the possibility that he has because of the information contained in the report.
So in your opinion, did he leak the report?
Well, I can't make that decision without seeing all of the information, and I can't see all of the information.
How damning is this of being done?
Well, it's a very serious matter. I mean, I made my expectations to all ministers quite clear. I expect them to comply. He's failed to comply. The report contains a lot of information in it. Details the engagement that he had with the reporter and details some of the discussions that they have, which of themselves would be inappropriate between a minister and Mr. Dunn, in so much that discussed GCSB, and that was a sensitive matter that I think should have been discussing anyway.
Do you have a support on confidence and supply?
Yes, so Mr. Dunn has written to the National Party indicating that he'll be continuing to support the government so we continue to enjoy confidence.
Do you want to be associated with this party now, given this?
Well, all I can say is that, firstly, A, National Party in government doesn't need confidence and supply from the United Future or from Mr. Dunn to actually continue to govern. We have more than enough votes to do that. Yes, there are areas where we believe we could continue to work with Mr. Dunn, but no, it wouldn't be appropriate for him to be a minister unless he could comply with the inquiry, and he won't.
Do you think this is likely to shorten
email exchanges, 86 email exchanges with the report over that short period,
yep,
and detailing
the same sensitive
issues?
Sorry, what's the question, David?
What do you make of those exchanges?
Well, there's obviously a very large volume, but I mean, from time to time, it's not unheard of politicians to have email exchanges with journalists. It's certainly a lot, but again, I haven't seen the nature of them other than giving broad characterisations, as the report indicates, which they were really about two issues. One was about GCSB, and the other was about meeting the reporter. So, in the end, you know, I can't really judge
that. Was that enough of an offence in your mind to have been for him to resign as well? I mean, if you'd only known that then.
Well, I'd be very, very unhappy about correspondence between Mr. Dunn and the journalist, which, for instance, is detailed in the report and indicates, I think, on the 27th of April, at the point that my office was briefing Mr. Dunn. Mr. Dunn made it clear to the journalist in question that he was being briefed. Well, that's actually totally inappropriate for such a sensitive matter.
So does this raise concerns about any other reports that he may have had in the past and could have been leaked?
Well, I can't draw judgment on those because I haven't looked into those matters. The inquiry was narrowly focused on this particular issue because that was the only issue where we believed a genuine leak, at least we had to investigate. So I can't answer the question in terms of other areas.
So just to clarify, what you mean about Mr. Dunn and these emails, etc., from the report, is that why you demanded his resignation, or is it because he couldn't comply with what the report was asking?
Fundamentally, it's because he won't comply. Because in the end, he is saying that he didn't leak the report. As I've said, I want to accept that, and I want to believe him, but in order to be able to do so, I think I would genuinely need for Mr. Henry to be able to see those emails and to be able to rule that possibility of him leaking the report out, and he won't supply those emails.
Should he resign as an MP?
Well, that's a matter for Mr. Dunn.
Has he given you any indications of that extension?
He's indicated he'll be continuing in Parliament, and that's my understanding. That would be the purposes of him writing and getting confidence in supply.
Do you think this means the election is more likely?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think it's important to understand that we have support from United Future continuing, or Mr. Dunn, as the case may be, given the pending issue of his party. We have continued to enjoy that from the ACT Party and the Māori Party. And you can see from the vote that we had in Parliament this week, in terms of what was effectively confidence in supply passing the budget, that the vote was something like 63-53, but anyway, it's by a large margin.
Well, you're sort of working with the community first now, just to think up for another.
I don't think we're looking to change our position in terms of reaching out to get more confidence in supply partners. We don't need that to continue to govern and to provide stable government for New Zealand. We can continue to do that. So we will work with his party on a case-by-case basis as we have in the past, but we won't be looking to change our structural governing relations.
What happens to the policy negotiations that you've had with the United States, Flexi Super and stuff like that? Is that all gone?
No, we're going to continue to work on those issues. I don't see any particular reason why we wouldn't work on policy issues like that. We've obviously got legislation where Mr. Dunn's indicated he'll support us, and he's indicated by letter that he's continuing to do so, so we'll continue to work on those issues.
Can you ask him why he was communicating about GCSB for a reporter?
I'm not sure I specifically asked that question. I only really got a sort of very much a headline detail about the email exchanges, and they were in the areas I indicated to you earlier. I really didn't delve into that particular reason. I did at one point ask, why, for instance, did he have that conversation about being briefed, and he said he was unable to explain that to him.
Will you be giving him a letter or any kind of endorsement for the next election, or is this over?
Oh, look, I think we're a long way away between now and the next election. In reality, we'll cross that bridge if we
don't. Would you even trust that Peter Dunn, and you're around your cabinet, or not around, but outside cabinet again?
Well, again, let's sort of cross that bridge if we ever come to it again.
Have you broken the
trust? Well, what I can say is that I want to trust him, and I want to be able to rely on him, but at the moment, that is challenging until those emails were released and until he could comply. I mean, that's the problem. I can't really stand in full judgment because I can't see all of the information.
Is there any way back for him into a cabinet bond or prime minister?
Well, he fundamentally would need to comply essentially with that report, and that's really a closed matter now. I don't think that's likely in the next 18 months before we have an election.
In your opinion, has he lied about his involvement?
Well, as a CGO, all I can say is he's categorically said to me in my office he did not leak the report. He's been steadfast in that view.
Do you believe him?
Well, as I said to you, I want to believe him, but the report, at least in part, casts questions over that, and until all that information was released, it's not possible to get a better handle on that, and he was refusing to release that information.
Do you think he's trying to protect a staff member?
Don't know the motivations. I mean, in the end, I asked him why he wouldn't release the emails, and he just said, look, he's just not prepared to.
Could someone else have leaked them?
Yes, it's possible.
Is there any avenue to pursue any sort of legal action, charges, or any other sort of disciplinary action?
I don't have a handle on that. I'm simply not a lawyer, and you know, my role was asking my ministers to comply with an inquiry we were taking very seriously, and I don't think Mr. Dunn was under any illusions about the seriousness of the matter when I spoke to him on the Wednesday evening. But I made it quite clear, you know, he had to comply or he had to go, and he will not comply, so he's gone.
So is it fair to say you want to trust him, but you don't, or you can't?
Well, look, what I can tell you is, you know, I can't assess the situation because I don't have all the information. He won't give me all the information, so it becomes a bit of a moot point.
If he shows you the emails?
He won't.
If he does?
He won't.
Either?
No.
Would they be damaging him in some other kind of way?
Sorry,
what do you think the nature of his relationship with the reporter was?
Well, you'd have to ask him directly that question, but he also gave me assurance that it was a totally professional relationship.
Well, what do you think the motivation for Peter Dunn was to leak this report? What would his motivation have been? Why would he want to
do this? Yeah, so even if you put that to one side and just say the general flavour of the communication and the sorts of things that are detailed in the report, he is unable to give me an explanation. I directly asked that question, and he simply said to me, look, he's unable to give an explanation. He said he enjoyed working with the government. He had high praise for me as Prime Minister. He's enjoyed his time. I've trusted them absolutely fully in the 4.5 years I've been Prime Minister and the year or so prior to that, but he cannot explain why he had those conversations, at least, and he rules out that he left the report.
Because, I mean, you'll be aware of the rumours, and I hope it's secret since you're in Parliament, that he was besotted with Andrew Barnes. Did you ask him about that?
Well, he made it quite clear to me that his relationship with the reporter is a thoroughly professional one. Any other questions you need to direct to
him? Because you must want to know why he'd do this.
Well,
did you put that to him, that, you know...
Yes, I asked, as I said, you asked that question about, you know, why does the, you know, the correspondence and the communication, which is detailed in the report, which of itself is inappropriate, in relation to what is a highly sensitive area and a document of national security, and he's unable to give me an answer to that.
You asked me a specific question about Andrew Barnes because
he made it quite. I didn't actually have to ask it. He made it quite clear in the discussion I had on Wednesday night. One of the first things he said to me is, no, I want to make clear there's no issue there.
In that meeting on Wednesday night, what was the mood in the meeting? Was it robust or was he quite emotional? What was it like?
Thoroughly professional. He sat down and I said, look, I've just received the report, I've read it. I'm quite shocked. I mean, I was very shocked. I said to him, look, Peter, I need you to comply with the thing. I want you to continue as a minister. You've been a good minister. I've 100% trusted him with all information of the government in the time that I've been Prime Minister, and it's been a very good and professional working relationship. But I said, if it's going to continue, you have to comply, and if you can't comply, then it has to end.
Do you 100% trust him now?
Well, as I said, I want to trust him, but I need him to comply.
So it's a pretty ignominious end to his political career, really, isn't it?
I think that's a matter for him. I mean, ultimately, to determine what happens next. He's been you'd have to say a parliamentarian that's been here now the longest serving member of the New Zealand Parliament that's currently here. He's been a minister in both governments. He's been a very good minister, and he's been thoroughly professional. And I am completely at a loss to explain the situation.
Because now he looks a little bit dodgy.
you need to make your own judgments on that.
So given that Winston Peters seemed to have quite a lot of information about the report, maybe you're going to have any kind of investigation into how he got that information?
I think, I don't know, okay, and but all I can say is it feels a bit speculative to me, because I didn't have any information about the fact that they were really talking primarily to Mr. Dunbar. I mean, I assume the press gallery must have made phone calls or whatever, because TV3 and others were reporting that. And in fact...
But not until Winston Peters said it.
Yeah, I don't have an answer to that particular question, but the, yeah, one assumes that there's discussions going on. It was publicly known that we were undertaking the inquiry, and Mr. Peters has been focusing on telephone conversations, and in fact Mr. Henry is not focused on that at all. He's focused on emails. So I think it's speculative, but again, I could be wrong.
So would you rule out having Peter Dunn in any kind of role overseas, ambassadorial, any kind of role that you
might
want to?
I can genuinely say that hasn't been part of the conversation.
Has there been any harm done to New Zealand's national security as a result of this?
No, I mean, the crazy thing about this was we were always intended to release the report in totality and to New Zealand, and that would have happened on the Tuesday when I returned from the China trip. The only reason I didn't want it to be released when I was in China was our relationship with China is very important. We were there celebrating 40 years of diplomatic relations, and it was much more sensible for me to come back and do that in a professional way like I'm doing it now, which is a press conference with you and answering all your questions. And I was having to scramble on the hoop and do that in China when I wanted to talk about our relationship with that country.
How was this going to affect the government's work program, say, for example, around the computer system?
I don't think it'll affect it at all, because that's a long-term program, and we talk about a very big project. In the very short term, Bill English will take over responsibility for IRD, but in reality, there'll almost certainly be another minister.
In terms of passing contentious legislation going forward, how you needed Dunn's vote for asset sales, do you envisage any more difficulties in getting that out of it? I know he said that he's going to...
No, I mean, the issues you're talking about are Sky City and maybe the RMA legislation, and he's already written to the Minister indicating he could continue to support it.
But other things on the legislative program that haven't surfaced yet that you might even...
I don't think so. I mean, he's in the letter that he wrote to me this afternoon, he spelled out the good working relationship that he has and that he continues to offer confidence and supply. His political leanings and his philosophy, from what I can see now, seems to fit very neatly with the National Party. So when he's used his United Future vote, he's been doing it because it fits with his values and principles, and I think in that regard he'll continue to vote that way.
So you've seen no problems with the stability of government, no need, for instance, for election or anything like that?
There's absolutely no issues. In fact, if I went to the Governor-General this afternoon and said I was wanting to have a snap election, he'd probably tell me to go away, because the reality is I've got absolute commitments from the Māori Party and from ACT that gives me 63 votes, and Mr. Dunn's written to me to tell me he intends to continue to give me confidence to supply. So I couldn't make a credible case to the Governor General.
Did he say if he would stand again?
I haven't had that discussion with him. Okay, thanks very much, sir.